action of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Are you fucking with me?
I am
just disagreeing with you. In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to disagree.
Any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary by any means necessary to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
54, Pierce.
Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Think about that. Even in the words you speak, there is a boundary. You don't need to embellish. You don't need to argue. You don't need to defend.
He goes, man.
I am happy.
All right. What's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. It is 6 p.m., December 5th, 2025. We're back from our hiatus, our Thanksgiving hiatus, or as I like to call it, land acquisition celebration. You can take that for what it's worth. But now, these Indian tribes that we supposedly stole the land from, they were killing each other for land and women for hundreds of years. In fact, a lot of them sided with the colonists or the pilgrims or colonists to be in order to get weapons so they could kill their enemies, which were the other Indian tribes. So, you know, I have no guilt. No. That's just how I am. So I had a great land acquisition celebration. We ate, we drank, we watched football. It was a great celebration. How was yours?
It was very good. And, celebrated with the traditional cutting out of the backbone of the turkey to do a spatchcock, smoking. It was really good.
Yeah.
I hate that part. I hate cutting out the spine, but damn it, it works really well. Works really
nice.
Well.
Never tried that.
Yeah.
Well, we do ham anyway, because my wife and her family, they're not into turkey, so we just do ham.
So you do, we usually do kosher ham on Christmas.
Okay. Is that a Jew joke?
It's just a joke. Kosher ham. It's my father-in-law.
Shit, I got Julio Jr. here.
I am a couple glasses of famous grouse into this conversation, so I'm
okay.
Pretty happy today.
Yeah, Brian's celebrating.
Yep.
He got he's back to work here shortly in a couple days. So
yep.
And we're recording on a Friday night because I'm going back to work on Sundays, which is great. So it's just it's an overall happy day for everyone. So
sure, man. Well, yeah. At least for us.
Right. Cheers to us. Yeah. It's never a great day for everyone. I mean, I didn't mean that. I meant everyone here. Hopefully the listeners are all having a great day too.
Hope so.
Yeah. There's always bad things going on out there.
But how could I not be happy in my gun room?
Right. Look at that arsenal.
It's not an arsenal. It's just home protection.
Looks like an arms room.
Yeah, it's too much walnut, I think.
All right. Yeah.
Which is odd for me to say because I'm actually a walnut and blued steel kind of guy.
But these days you want the synthetic stock.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Not a bad
thing. If you notice over my right shoulder, I found one of my old Zero targets. Now, for the listeners that aren't watching on YouTube, the first three-round burst was straight into the genitals. I mean, I took none of them were outside of the silhouette, by the way. And I slowly moved up to center mass. It didn't take more than 9 rounds. Maybe 12. It's hard. I took out the genitals so bad it's hard to tell how many went through there, but
that's looks called like humane. A nine.
What's that?
That's humane.
Right. Oh boy. Okay.
Look, think of it in kind of a poetic way. It's first, you have no future, and now that you're depressed, I'll just end your misery.
Right. Well, yeah.
Very kind.
It's like the old motto at least in my unit. It goes two to the chest, the face gets the rest.
It's kind of a Mozambique drill.
It works. Oh. So, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, where are you at on politics, Brian?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Somebody pointed out to me, everything's politics. You know, your family's politics, dealing with your sister, dealing with your mom, your dad. It's all politics. You're constantly discussing issues. You're constantly having to deal with feelings. You're constantly having to address things and compromise, and that's all politics. So in reality, it's nothing out of the ordinary. However, it's freaking tiring, man. The online stuff is just insanely tiring.
I mean, like our elected officials and stuff.
I know. Okay. That's where I was headed. But it's like my disdain for politics is really at that national level because of the chatter, you know, the chaff, the distractions, the smoke screens, the red herrings, the bullshit. You know, it's like January 6th. January 6th was a massive smokescreen. Russiagate, massive smokescreen. And it's so COVID, right? Massive smokescreen. And you, well, I was going to say, you know it when you see it, but obviously at least half of the country had no freaking clue.
No.
Because they wanted it to be true. And here's a little reality check I had to kind of process this week, which was the opponents of Make America Great Again are the people who willfully elected a corpse, a walking, talking corpse. They knew he was deranged. They knew he was a groper, a sniffer, a disgusting human being with a fucked up family, with, you know, a fucking, sorry for my language, but I'm so pissed off about this, a congenital liar. They elected that guy. And you could say what you want about Trump. Is he bombastic? Yes. Is he full of himself? Seems like it. You know, he's hot shit to himself, and his track record proves it, you know, and it's not unjustified, but it is egotistical, whatever. But there is no comparison to me.
Oh, no.
There's absolutely no comparison, especially to, so you asked me where I'm at with politics. So that's an open door, man. But it's like, so the people bitching and moaning and complaining about everything that Trump does right now can go fuck off. Just absolute, just fuck it. Just shut up because you wanted a walking corpse. It's been proven now that all these executive orders and all this auto pen crap that was going on was happening behind his back, under his nose, without his consent, without his cognition, and you elected that person. So, you know what?
And then you
That's
had
it.
cackling Kamala.
Who, thank God.
It's almost like she's unrememberable. Like it's almost like she, you know what I'm saying? Like she wasn't even there.
That is a great quote.
I don't think she's ever coming back either. It's
What
like
did she do? What did she do?
she was a wine mom. She just got drunk and laughed on camera a couple times and she just went away.
She did give us the you must, what was it? You must go back behind the front before you can reverse the forward. What was that thing? She
Oh,
said that double talk. And you know what? I mean, that is just a perfect example of open manipulation, right? It's double talk, and double talk leads to potentially, if you buy into it, what's called a double bind. And a double, do you know what that is? Have you ever heard that?
sounds like some what's that book? 1984?
Exactly. Good job. But it's the sky is blue. The sky is not blue. I believe both are true. How the fuck do you believe that both are true? That's a double bind. You're
Double
bound.
speak
It's
or like
contradictory.
all those words that they use in that book are all coming to fruition too. It's like hate speech. It's like what? What happened to freedom of speech? It's like get the fuck out of here.
And people don't, the thing is, it sounds good conceptually, right? It's like, okay, we all agree at some level, if we have love in our hearts, that hate is not productive. It's not good. We shouldn't just hate other people because they're skin color. We shouldn't just hate other people because of their economic status. We shouldn't just hate other people because of what, you know, whatever, their hair color, their eye color. Everybody pretty much, that's, and I say, when I say everybody, I mean everybody who's rational, you know,
Yeah, I
rational,
mean, you can
logical.
go into the hills of West Virginia here and there and something like that, but for the most
Right.
part.
Or the inner city, or right. It's not, the inner city ain't much different than Appalachia. It's just got a different vibe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
It's
if you're
just got a
white, you
different
don't want to
vibe.
go there.
Yeah. It's got a
It's
different
like if I
vibe.
was black, I probably wouldn't go to, into the hills of West Virginia. But it's a, not that they're not allowed or not that I'm not allowed. I mean, I grew up in my neighborhood was pretty hoodie, you know what I mean? And you can make that work. But if people know, you know, people know you and stuff. But there was a lot of fighting, a lot of, you know, like if you're the only white dude, they're gonna try to make you feel uncomfortable and stuff like that. But you get used to that, you
I
know,
mean,
but.
I grew up in a very, and this is in the 80s, mid-80s, very diverse. Unforced, it didn't matter. Our class president was black. It didn't fucking matter. Who
Right.
cared? You know,
It really
Katrina.
doesn't.
It didn't matter. We had kind of gang stuff going on. You had the Vatos, you had the high riders, you know, and the low riders and the high riders kind of went at
Yeah.
it. And you had the druggy guys that could just, you know, I mean, there were all those factions. It's probably still the same today in some form or fashion,
That's why
but
I don't
it,
like going home. I don't like. The white people are stupid and the black people are stupid. It's just the hood mentality and they like it that way. And there's nothing nobody can do about it really right now.
It's
But
survivalist.
yeah, when you're poor, and I just like my if my wife if we're watching, flipping through Netflix, and my wife will want to watch a movie that's in the hood or something, I'll be like, no, I can't deal with that tonight. I just don't want to, because I've been there, and I don't want to. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for that shit because I know they have the ability to not be that way, because I'm not like that anymore. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not a fucking psychiatrist. Sorry, here I go cussing.
No,
Trying to stop that. But
it's
what I was what I when I was bringing up politics, so I was watching or listening to Rogan at work the other day, and he had some AI expert that's friends with Trump. I can't remember his name. I think it's an Asian dude. Or at least his name sounded Asian. Like I said, I was just listening to it. But he said this guy was over there hanging out with Trump, and they somehow Rogan came up, and Trump goes, "Oh, let's call him." And Rogan just started laughing. He's like, "Man, he's like a little kid, you know?" And so like that brought him to the to bring him to bring up that like when Trump texts him, like him and they met at UFC and all that. So like Trump will text him, and if he doesn't answer back in time, Trump will delete it. Like, 'cause he doesn't want to feel rejected, or it's just childish, man. But I mean, nobody's perfect, man. But I mean, that's the president. It just goes to show you that none of us are perfect, and we've all got our faults, man. Some of us can be childish. I can be childish. I can be too proud. All of us are like that.
I mentioned this earlier, but I heard a great quote today, and it was, "The ego is the anesthetic for the pain of stupidity."
Yeah, right. Yeah, if you can just let go of that ego, man, it's
It's true.
yeah.
It's true. And that's something that Sable Warrior really taught me, was how much, the ego, and as much as I don't like Freud, the super ego, talking about those things, because he kind of coined those terms
Yeah.
for the dynamics of the human personality.
And
But they
it's
do.
really about with the ego, it's really about forgiveness. But
Love, right?
most of that is about forgiving yourself. You know what I mean?
It's about love. It's You can't love yourself if you don't forgive yourself. And so
Right.
forgiveness is the pathway to love. Then forgiving others is the pathway to you for you to love others.
Right,
It's
100%. All
interesting.
right, now I'm gonna have to pause it. I'm down here in the garage, and I'm freezing my balls off. I drank one beer, now I'm about to piss my pants.
You're still
So
recording.
I know.
Okay,
I'm gonna pause it, and then I'm gonna go grab a hoodie and grab a couple more beers. All right.
right
All
on.
right, let me pause it.
Okay,
All right, we're back. Brian's got
back.
something to say.
I've got something to say, and it's just that, I just wanted to mention, you had said something about, God working on your heart, and it's showing through, man. Just, I would say I've seen, I don't know. I'm not trying to make it judgmental. I've just seen a warmer side of you. It's not to say you're, this is a problem with being
A man.
being vulnerable, yes, and being
Pretty much.
vulnerable, and being vulnerable, right? Because people in the wrong group, they'll beat the shit out of you for being honest and more honest, maybe. Maybe that's not even right, because that suggests you were being dishonest before, and that's not the point. That's not the point. But I would just say, I agree. I mean, I just from my perspective, and I think he's working on both of us. You know,
Oh, yeah,
my outlook,
always.
my perspective on life has become so much better, and so I think.
I ordered an Ethiopian Bible. You know anything about that?
Only what I've heard, which is that it's got pre-canonical content, so it's
I mean,
pre.
I've already read all that stuff, but it's also organized in a different manner.
Is it?
Yeah, and
Is it more
it
like
just it
time
it's
based or?
I don't know. I just ordered it today. I'm waiting for it to come, and then I can't wait to read it. But it just got translated into English in 19 or wait, 2017. What the fuck is wrong with me? Sorry.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. They had like a group working on it, and they were putting out like updates and stuff. And then I don't know, man. I just, you know me, I'm skeptical about all that stuff, especially like the Council of Nicaea and all that, but
Yeah, it was, oh, damn it, what was his name?
Constantine.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, was he a good guy? Yeah, history says maybe, maybe not. You know, he did some stuff.
He did get baptized on his deathbed, but that was after he did all that stuff. You know, after it, you know, after he was trying to unite all the empires that he conquered after he killed hundreds of thousands of people, you know, so
And
who
you
knows?
know, and baptism is, at least as it's described in the Bible that we know, you know, was explained to be a willful public statement of your faith. And while you could argue if you did that when you're 20, or if you did that on your deathbed, it should be equivalent, you know,
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not. But I'm saying, like, if he knew that he did something, it wasn't just him. I mean, there was bunch of people there. And I'm saying, like, if he knew, I like to think that nobody would voluntarily change the word of God or anything like that. I think like when they retranslate it and stuff, yeah, they got to add words because I mean Hebrew's got, I don't know how much you know about Hebrew, but like yeah, it's
very little, but a little.
you have to add words during translation, but then again, and then you can go back to King James. Now he was seemed to be a pretty big piece of shit also. That's why I ordered this Ethiopian Bible, but I don't know. You know, you got this organization that's translating it to English now, who they working for, you know, and so
And so here's something I don't think most people understand or know. And I'm not a big fan of King James English, so I don't prefer the King James Bible. But in the King James translation, every word that's italicized is a word that was added, to your point, to fill in the English expression for whatever the Hebrew word, Hebrew or Aramaic, right? Because the New
Right.
Testament was both. It was a combination of actually Latin. It was Latin and Aramaic, and the Old Testament was Hebrew. But yeah, so
Or Greek.
and potentially right, because you had the Pentateuch, which was Greek. But those, if you look in a King James Bible, there'll be italic words like the. This is prepositions and things that just don't exist in Greek, or rather in Hebrew, and it they were honest about it, you know,
Right.
and the,
Yeah.
but there are mistakes too, and this is funny. This is a little goof that Joseph Smith made when he constructed the Book of Mormon, and. He took entire portions of the King James Bible and put them in the Book of Mormon, and he included the translations, the thes, the prepositions, and the things that were in italic as a direct translation from God. So it's like, dude, I mean, it's just word for
Right.
word, and I've got
That,
a ton of examples of that, but it's kind of
and it's
funny.
weird how much power they have. I mean, everybody knew this dude was like a con man, and but the
But he
Mormon,
conned the right people.
right, and the Mormons, they made their way to, was it Idaho? No, I think it was Iowa, where
They
they
started. They started in Palmyra.
uncovered these temples or whatever. Have you heard about that?
Palmyra, New York, and then Missouri, and I forget the name in Missouri. That's where Smith was killed. And then Brigham Young took over and then led them to the Great Salt Lake, which is actually kind of hilarious. If you can imagine, you know, you got hundreds of people, thousands of people marching, you know, coming up the Oregon Trail, and they crest this abutment, you know, this geographical feature, and they oversee the Great Salt Lake, and Brigham Young says, "This is it. This is the place." And they get down there, and it's Salt Lake. That's kind of funny.
Right.
Like, there's no fresh water. It's like, but don't bump. Sorry, dude.
Have we? I don't know. I've talked about it on this podcast before, but I don't know if I talked about it with you. But so you know how like Army, Marines, and so forth recruit in the hallways of high schools and stuff. The CIA does that at Brigham Young.
That's
And
interesting.
it's not a secret, you know. It's like if you talk some, oh yeah, they're there all the time. But they don't drink, they don't smoke. And they think it's all right to lie as long as you're doing it for God. So
There's
I
a
don't know if
lot of
that's part of it.
shady.
To me, it's part of it, but you know, that's just my take on it.
There's a lot of shady stuff that Mormons do to get
Right.
around. It's just, and I just say this because it's funny, because the Jews did it too, right? It was like I was mentioning this in the podcast that shall not be named because God deleted it.
Wait, what? Are you
But
serious?
the one we did that disappeared.
I don't know. Are you talking about where they put the lines around the certain neighborhood in New
No,
York?
no, 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 no. I'm just saying the podcast that you and I did that was wiped from history by a power outage or whatever the hell happened.
Oh,
And I
yeah.
started to talk about this exact thing, and it was like, you know, the loopholes that you know, why are there timers on ovens? That like delay start timers. They are there because of the Jews. So they can put something in the oven on Friday and it will cook it for them and it'll be ready on Saturday. They don't have to do the work, right? And it's like there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of these loopholes. And there was a verse, I'm gonna have to find it, about this guy. I think he was in the Sanhedrin and he was pulling water out of a well on the Sabbath, but he used a belt. There was something mechanical that he used to do it. So he wasn't directly doing the work, you know. So just the point being, we humans are very creative and we're very
Sneaky.
sneaky. It's sneaky and also don't like being told what to do. And we'll find ways around it. Like you know, you tell any kid not to do something, he's going to find a way around it. If it's not a girl, I guess girls don't do that. But every boy, like I knew every way to break into my childhood home that there was through windows, through doors. I knew everything. But yeah, it's this desire to get what you want, even though you know you're not supposed to do it. And Mormons are no exception to that. And there's this whole thing called soaking. Have you ever heard about this? It's a sex thing
Oh,
where
you mean
they
where they
will,
put it in but they don't move? Come
yes,
on now.
and then friends shake the bed
Come
to
on. That is
what?
ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous, but it is not within the realm of not being possible, right? There's like a non-zero chance this is true. And I've heard, I've done quite a lot of work in the I am trying to be careful with my words.
Oh, man.
Talking to Mormons and befriending a lot of Mormons too, not for the sake of anything other than just to be their friends, but hearing firsthand accounts of stuff like this, you know, and it's documented in the freaking Old Testament. And I often refer to, you know, it's like when Moses left, they're exiting Egypt and they're so many years in their exile. And Moses goes up the mountain and he comes back 2 days later and they got golden calves and they're worshiping Baal. It's like, holy shit. Are you serious? Or like, you can't even wait 2 days, you know? And that is so human. And to me, that is such a refreshing thing. It's frustrating and it's disgusting and it's stupid, but it's so human because that's just the way we are. And it's like if you're a Christian, that's the way you are. And if you're a Jew, that's the way you are. And if you're Mormon, that's the way you are. And if you're Buddhist, that's the way you are. And that's a commonality, you know? If you're conservative or liberal or whatever, that's the way you are. We are hardwired to serve to please ourselves, you know, the ego, that ego, right? The ego is the anesthetic that kills the pain of stupidity. And that is so freaking true. And
I
you
agree.
know, and
Agreed.
that's all that. Everything I just said in the last 10 minutes is covered by that statement. It's because it's true, you know, and it's not a get out of jail free card. It's a realization that we're doomed. If we rely on ourselves, we're doomed. We can't do it. We will screw up. We will always look for a shortcut. We will always, you know, if we're bound to the law, we will fail. There is no way any Jew in the day, and I mean Abraham, period, right? With the law that existed, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse. It got more complicated. But there's no way anyone upheld every law. There's no way. And that's in a way, or exactly is what I would say, was the point of those laws, right? It's like God, it's a bad, I don't want to say practical joke. It's an unsolvable puzzle. You can't do this. You can't do it. Add more laws. Go ahead. Add 100. Add 1,000. at 10,000, right? You will fail at 10. You will fail at it, 10 commandments. You can't even fucking, you know what I mean? Really, seriously, it's 10. And you have 10 fingers, right? There's a coincidence? And we can't do it. That's a beautiful acceptance of our failure to be godlike. We can't do it. We're not God, you know, and that's something Saul taught me, was that we are in fact trying to be God, right? We're trying to set the rules. We're trying to be in control. We're trying to dictate what happens, and we can't. Life is not going to end up the way you expect it. Your situation is not going to end the way you expect it. Your marriage is not going to end the way you expect it. We can't control this crap. And it's like, it doesn't, there's no limit to our willingness to undertake experimentation to try to prove the opposite of that. Like, we will do everything possible. So I love it. I actually love it. It's a beautiful picture of our inability to be godlike. And once you accept that, and once you can embrace it and realize I can't do this, I have to rely on God or my higher power, or however you want to phrase that. Because,
You know how I look at
yeah.
it? It's like we're all really little kids in reality. And
100%.
it's like I say this at work, but you can say that for your neighbors, every from work all the way to the entire world. It's like this place is just really a comedy club if you really look at it.
But you have to be willing to laugh at yourself.
Exactly. You got to forgive
That's,
yourself.
you
That's what I'm
gotta
saying.
forgive.
Forgiveness for
Exactly.
yourself and for others, right?
And you have to do it for yourself first. If you can't love
You got
yourself,
to.
if you can't forgive yourself, you can't forgive anybody else. And
Right.
I would argue against that 55 days ago. You
Right.
know, and it's a realization that we're not in control. We're not the prime players. We're not the star in the movie. We're supporting cast. We might be comic relief. That and that's okay. It's okay. We don't have to be. I don't want to be, frankly. I don't have movie star looks. I don't want to be the movie star. I've got other skills.
You know, people at work would, I don't tell most people, but when they do find out that I have a podcast, they're like, "What?" Because I don't fucking talk at work. I don't talk to anybody. I just want to be left alone. And if you talk to me and for no reason, I get the impression you're trying to sell me yourself, which that's not my job. That's your psychiatrist's job. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I just got this thing. You know, like I don't like people imposing their will on me. You know what I mean? Maybe that makes me a bad person, maybe not. I'm trying to you know, there's verses in the Proverbs where they talk about just shut up, you know. And
Listen
I,
first. We're a lot alike in that respect. So part of my journey has been going through, shit, you can't see
it
it.
never
It's
works.
the adult children of alcoholics
Okay.
program. So it's like Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's adult children of alcoholics. And this is part of the Save a Warrior work. You know, you get out of the container, as they call it, the 72-hour container. And you've got a year's worth of work, 500 days, you know, and this workbook was part of it. We just finished it. And it's a set of character traits that are common to children of addicted parents. You know, it doesn't have to be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be whatever, it could be violence. And the commonality, the shared experience of 18 men in a room who had never met each other was sobering. And I don't mean that in like an alcoholic sense. I just mean it, you know, it was a, dude, I tear up. It's like it unlocked an emotional aspect of me that I would hide before, you know. But being in a room with 18 guys who, while unique in the circumstances, are exactly the same in their path. I don't know if that makes sense. You know,
No, I get it.
there were dudes who were beaten. I was never beaten. You know, there were dudes who were raped. I was never raped. But yet we had similar experiences. We had similar paths, you know, and this workbook, I kind of am of the belief at this point in time that everybody on the planet should probably go through this thing, because it's a self awareness thing, you know. And it's like, I'll just give you one example, like the first trait. And it's these things are again characteristic, and it's exactly what you said. So not trusting people, right, is one of the traits. It's not this one, but you know, we became isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. And while that didn't actually apply to me, there's four aspects of it in this workbook that kind of work on opposition points. So there's that point, and then there's the opposite of that, and then there's this flip side, and then the opposite of the flip side. And you one of those four descriptions of that character trait probably apply. And if they don't, that's okay, you know. But if they do, then you kind of start to realize, it's like, holy shit, yeah, that's something I did. You know, I did reject other people. Well, I think it was like trait 10 or 11 that touched on what you just said. And I had to realize, you know, there are specific people, and I can name them. They're pretty infrequent, but they were imposing in a manner that seemed like they wanted my friendship in order to better themselves in some way. And I'm not saying I had anything that was worthy of betterment. You know, I had power or anything. I don't know what their deal was, but the impression I got was that they were looking for something. They wanted something. You know, they wanted something from me, and so I would reject them. And the last company I worked for, there was one dude who just fucking checked off all those boxes, man. And self-serving, self-promoting, seemed to need to jump on top of me to get to where he wanted to go. And it pissed me off. And I would do everything I could to sabotage in a way. I'm not saying I went
Right.
out of my
No,
way to say,
I
but it was
understand
like,
everything you're talking about, man.
yeah, I would not support him at all. But anyway, it's in this freaking book, you know, and it was a
So do
character
you
trait.
forgive that dude?
I mean, that's not necessarily part of that book, but it's something I should do. Actually, you bring up a great point. You
Right.
know, I need
I've been
to.
thinking about that, you
I need
know?
to. And
Right.
it's and
He's
Jesus
probably got his
said,
own issues.
absolutely. I think he's probably in this book too, right? These 14 character traits probably apply to him. And Jesus basically said that it's our unforgiveness that will cost us. Like, and I'm butchering this, but If we don't forgive other people, those are the things that will be held against us. When we
Yeah.
are judged, it's going to be our non-forgiveness that
I
is
mean, I
judged.
can't. This is not exact, but he said, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you, basically. I can't remember exactly what book that was out of, but I know
I don't
for a
think
fact
he's,
it was in there.
yeah, I don't think he said, I won't forgive you, but he basically said, dude,
Oh, he
you know,
said, if you, if
you're in shit.
it might have
It
been the
it's
Old
the
Testament,
rewards.
so
But that's
that
the
maybe that doesn't
rewards.
apply to us, but I
No,
know
no,
for a
no. It,
fact that there was a
no, for
passage that
sure.
said that.
For sure. It is, it's something right along those lines. And
Right.
it has to do with storing treasures in heaven. They're not treasure. It's not gold. It's not money. It's not material gain. But it's you being able to release other people, because it doesn't even matter if you say it to their face. Like, we had a family situation fairly recently. You know, I had a we've talked about this once or twice. Just a series of losses. You know, my mom passed away, my son passed away, my dog died, my daughter got into a, oh damn it, what's the word? A crush, maybe I'll use that word, with a much, much disgustingly older man who was a friend of my oldest son. Double her age, right? She got entwined in this. She thought she loved him, blah blah blah. I
Well,
loathed.
he
I
didn't have
wanted
a
to.
family, right? Or
I
I
don't
don't
want to get
know.
it.
No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask.
I don't. I just don't want. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah,
But the
no, I'm
point
sorry.
was, I know where he works, and I know what car he drives, and so I would drive by his work. And I would look for his car, and if his car was there, I would just mutter. I mean, I would out loud just say, "Motherfucker, rack and fracking," you know. I would just like curse this dude, and I had to come to a point where I just said, "This is not good for me. This is negative. It's not beneficial. I need to let it go." And I had to let it go, and I
That's
forgave
tough,
him,
man. That is
and
tough.
I would be inclined to put a bullet in the head of a 31-year-old who touched my 16-year-old daughter.
Oh my God. I don't
It's
blame you.
fucking ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous. Anyway, I let that anger go. And that's what I think Jesus was talking about. And again, I'm not trying to portray myself as some pious dude. I love Jesus and I love the F word, you know. But it's one of those, it's just a realization. I gotta let this go. It's eating me alive. You know,
You got to.
my mom once told me, if you, if, because I freaking hated my dad at a level that was just really unhealthy. And she told me, if you focus on him, if you're putting all this energy into hating on your dad and to thinking about all the things he did bad, you're going to become just like him. It's what you could call it, target fixation. It was like a military term,
And it's
where,
half of you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I mean, when
And
I was a kid, my dad did so many things that I thought was, and I didn't do those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I tried to be go the other way, but I'm like him in so many ways, and no, none of us can avoid that. You know what I mean? That's there's no avoiding that. I mean, now how old were you when you, so did your dad raise you or what?
my mom and dad. So my dad became addicted to Valium, which was a benzodiazepine, probably in the 50s. which predated me by a decade. And by the time, and I had this realization, I've been doing meditation every day. And in those meditations, I have a lot of clarity moments, epiphanies, you might say, where it's just like, oh, that's why that happened, you know? And I realized by the time I was born, he was already down that path. And I'd never really realized that before. But he became physically, I would say, benzodiazepines create a physical dependency. It's not really an addiction. Your body demands it, you know? And so it drives, it's not a disease, it's a drug-induced, you know, drive to get that drug and to put that drug in your body anyway. So that's what
All right.
he so by the time by third grade, so I was eight, he had conceived a plan. I mean, he had been working on this for like 2 or 3 years. It's evil shit. He wanted to leave my mom, and he decided that I was the outlier. I was the youngest, and I was separated in age from my nearest sibling by 5.5 years. So there was a pretty good gap. And then my older siblings all separated. They were separated by 2 years. Not quite, you know, Catholic twins, Irish twins, but they were, you know, 2 years. So I was a really, really separated. You know, my brother was 5.5 when I was born. But my dad leveraged that and started spoiling me, gave me everything I wanted. I could do no wrong, you know,
Okay, now how old were you at that time?
well, it probably started around eight. Yeah, it had to, 7 or 8. I think he started it a year or two before the departure. So I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how much of this he planned out, but it clear to me now that it was planned out. And anyway, I'll kind of jump to the point. He had this idea. He basically groomed me, you know, gave me everything I wanted, let me eat whatever I wanted to eat. My mom was more like a past 7 p.m. you shouldn't eat anything other than like an apple. You can have an
Right,
apple, or you can have a cracker, you know. My dad was like, oh, fuck, cake, pizza, yeah, whatever you want, you know. And
I mean, my wife is like that too, and I used to be like that when I was younger because I didn't know any better. I'm just a little, you know what I'm saying?
well,
I don't know.
there's that, but there's using that as a tool to groom a kid to prefer you over your other parent.
Oh,
That's
I
what he
get it.
did.
I get
That's what
it.
he did. So my mom was like, don't eat past 7. My dad is eat pizza after 7, you know? And so he comes through today. He's like, hey, I'm going to leave your mom. I'd really like you to go with me. Would you like to be able to eat cake after 7, or do you want to eat an apple after 7? That's
Oh,
like
yeah,
almost
that's
exactly what he
bad.
said to me. Oh, fuck, total grooming.
Oh, yeah, that's
Total
bad.
grooming. And I'm like, I'd rather have cake, Dad, you know? So I went with my dad, and I lived with him for like 4 years. And I had no supervision. I had no, you know, I smoked when I was 11, 12 years old. I stole his cigarettes and smoked and
What
hung out with the
age
kid.
was it when you moved in with your dad?
It would have been, it's somewhere between third and fourth grade. Because fourth grade, and I'm tracking it by the school I was going to. I went to like nine schools. It was freaking ridiculous. I was not in a military family, and I went to like nine elementary schools. That's an exaggeration, but it was like six. First grade I went to one school. Second grade I went to another school. Third grade I went to another school. Fourth grade I went back to the school before that for half the year. Then went to a new school in a new school district for fourth, fifth, and sixth, the remainder of fourth. Then I talked somehow got into junior high where my siblings had gone, which is in our the home where I grew up in, because my dad and I were living in another city at the
Where'd
time.
you come from?
What do you mean?
What city?
Fremont, California.
Oh, okay, that's right. You told us that. All right, my bad.
Fremont, California, the confluence of five townships. It was a great place to grow up, actually. But anyway, they so the point was, what was the damn point? Damn it.
All right. Sorry, Brian, sorry.
You want to take a
I'll give
break?
you a minute to think about it. It's so
All
cold down
right.
here, I gotta piss again. All right, we're back. I'm sorry, people. I had to take another piss. I'm grabbing a couple more beers. My apologies.
When I think the rabbit trail of my mind was about, it was about forgiveness, right? It was about
Your
having
dad,
that.
right?
I'm trying to formulate my thoughts, but basically, my dad just did some shady freaking underhanded shit to get at my mom, and I
Yeah.
was the tool for that. And that led me into the world of this book, which is basically, this guy's an addict, he's doing things selfishly, and you're just along for the ride, and you didn't ask for it, but it is what it is,
Right.
So having to realize that I adopted some of his behaviors and mode of operation through abandonment, through other things. Dude, I'm telling you, it's been a rough frickin' road of revelation. Just being able to admit certain things to myself. I don't want to get into it too much, but
Hey, I don't want to.
no,
I don't
it's all
want to
good.
upset you,
No. It's all good.
but so your dad was on volume, right?
That's where he started. That's
All
where he
right, so
started.
basically, the pharmaceutical industry has taken your son and your dad.
Bingo. Bingo. Yep. It's not, and apparently, my dad and his mother. Because Valium was initially released as the pill that would allow a housewife to relax,
Yeah.
from all the
Yeah.
pressure and all, it was mommy's magic pill, and his mother fell victim to that, and then he and I don't know, I'm guessing there's relation there. Maybe she started taking it first, but I know for a fact at some point in my childhood, she was providing him with drugs. She was providing him with Valium when
When he
he
was a
couldn't.
kid or what?
No, when I was a kid.
Okay.
This is when he was checked out. And, the point being, it wasn't just that drug. It became a pharmaceutical cornucopia of experimental methods, and I can't even remember the names of them. But again, the point being, I had to come to a realization that my anger and hurt and all the crap that I was carrying as a result of that, having realized I was a tool, I was being used by him, I was being manipulated as a weapon against my mother in particular, who I love dearly. Fuck my dude, my mom. Don't want to say she did no wrong, but she did everything she could do to save the house, to save our family, to, and that was this week, actually. And I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm, confessing or whatever on the podcast, but last week I had the
No,
real
it's all
realization.
good, man. Go
I just had
ahead.
the realization I am at that exact point, where my wife has had to go to work, my mom had to go to work, dad is unemployed, my dad was unemployed, the house is at risk, our house is at risk, it's just like fuck. The Lord
Hey.
has a sense of humor that I don't understand.
Right. Hey, but you're starting work next week, brother. Amen.
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 So yeah, that is the answer to a lot of prayers. Had an interview, got offered the job on the spot, so I take
Yeah.
that as a positive.
Right.
I'm excited
Absolutely.
about it. It's not what I wanted, but it's what I'm gonna do,
Right.
So that, and I think that's the burden of a man is you have to realize at some point that it may not be what you want, it's what you have to do, and men are really good at that. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do this
Some
job.
men.
So yeah, for sure. But generally speaking, as opposed to women,
Oh,
whereas w
right.
women, w I mean, God bless my wife for her ability to organize, her ability to put herself into a problem. While I don't agree a lot of times with how she solves them, I don't think women's logic is all that. I'll stop there. While I don't agree with how she solves problems, she
Yeah.
tries. She tries really, really, really hard and thinks a lot about stuff and takes it very seriously and has this work ethic, for lack of a better expression, that is staggeringly impressive. Her ability to run this house without me around, her ability to now go into a job from scratch without having worked in the last 27 years. Oh shit, wait, sorry, 37 years. Is amazing. It's amazing, and here I am sitting on both of my thumbs for 18 months. So it's demasculating, and so it's good to get back to work. It's good to have a job. It's good to be,
Yeah.
again, it's not what I wanted.
Amen,
It's
brother.
it doesn't pay what I want and what I need, but the Lord has literally stepped in and provided yet another miracle that's going to get us through January. And then I don't have to sell off all my wonderful guns back here in the background.
Yeah. Right. You just got to take what God gives you, man.
I don't know what that says over there in the corner, whoever owns the picture. I just grabbed it off the internet. But no, the ability, like letting this guy go, who was predating my dog, predating, not predating, but as a predator, predating my daughter, letting him go. I don't give a crap about him anymore. He doesn't drive up my blood pressure.
Did he
I can
leave her
drive by.
alone?
Oh, we established that that was mandatory. So that's not a problem. It's over. She
I'll
realized
get
it
his
was,
name off air.
dude, I had, I'm telling you, he's a lucky man. He has no idea. I had friends that were dead freaking serious saying, I will fly into town. You tell me where he is. I will beat the living shit out of this guy. I'm like, dude, no. A, they'll think I did
Yeah,
it.
right.
B, that's not what I want.
Yeah,
I
you'd be the
mean,
prime suspect.
no shit.
We all watch true crime.
Hey, oh. So that's a funny thing that occurred to me and saw. and save a warrior, true crime really appeals to me, in a way, because it's a relief that my life isn't as screwed up as those people, you know? And I've dialed that back quite a bit. I enjoy it. It's funny. I'm studying German too, and in German, the word for that is Krimi. It's like
Yeah.
the genre of films and books and stuff that's, you know, murder mysteries and crime related, which I love. Krimi, which is hilarious, like criminals, Krimi books, Krimi movies.
So what now? Let's go back. What is the how? What is the satisfaction that true crime brings to a human mind?
For me, I can't speak to all humans, you know, but for me, it was, I think, a relief that I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as
Of
bad
course,
off as
that's
that family,
everybody.
right? Yeah. Look how screwed up they are. It's like watching Internet Fails. You
Right.
know, that was addictive. The family did that. What's the show? Crap. It was an
Well,
MTV show. Oh, damn it. Can't remember the name of it. I don't even know
anyway,
the host name. Yeah.
until you think of it, well, women love true crime. So I always thought it was like, well, okay, this is what I can do if my husband tries to kill me, or you know what I mean? Like, what is the fascination with it? It's not just I mean, my wife, she'll watch it, but it seems like women love that shit. And I
I
don't.
don't know about that. I mean, my wife does like a YouTuber named Mr. Ballin. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
It's just a he's a you know Navy SEAL that tells stories on YouTube. Goes by
Okay.
Mr. Ballin. It's pretty good. He gesticulates a lot, which I can relate to. But he tells some pretty interesting. They're like stories he has validated that are just like these crazy, you wouldn't believe they were true, but basically they seem to be true.
Yeah.
Stories my wife loves. She listens to him all the time. But I don't know. I mean, like I watched, what is it, the first 48.
Oh yeah, I watched that.
Yeah. That's to me, it's a combination of things, right? It's like the
Right.
law enforcement side of it, which has always appealed to me. The mechanics of how do you move this thing forward? How do you do it without screwing it up? You know, because we've
Right.
all heard about like, you know, contaminated evidence
But
through, you know, like not reading Miranda rights and stuff like that. That just fascinates me. I don't know what it is.
it's like we were talking about earlier, because the first 48 is always takes place in the hood, as far as I can tell. And
Somewhat, mostly, yep.
it bugs me because like I used to live there, and it's like I know the mindset of these people, and I used to do that, and I just, you know, I it pisses me off, you know, and it's like
Which part? The fact that they do it? Which part pisses you
it's
off?
like I'm putting myself in their place. It's like, nah, I'm not really putting myself in their place. It's like it's almost like they embrace poverty. It's like it's cool to be, you know, like even when they get money, it's like I work with people that are from East Toledo. which is not a hood at all, but they can up here they consider it to be like a hood, but it's all everybody I meet is mostly white. And they're like, oh, I'm from East Toledo. I'm like, well, yeah, well, yeah, I'm not really impressed with that. And so they still want to act like they're fucking hood rats, and they're making, you know, 30 some dollars an hour. You know what I mean? It's like you don't want to, you can, you, it's like people embrace that shit and they don't want to let go. You know what I mean? It's like,
It's identity.
yeah, it
And
is an
I,
identity. Exactly, Brian.
yeah.
I
And I
was
had that.
you told me the word I couldn't pinpoint.
Yeah. It's I had that same identity growing up with my dad, you know, living with my dad. I gained a lot of street smarts, you know, I gained a lot of knowledge about how the politics, back to our original conversation, the politics of just how shit works, you know, how Andre deals with Jeff, and how Jeff has power and Andre wants the power, and Jack over here or whoever, you know what I mean? You figure that crap out, and you figure out the power dynamics, and you're like, I want to be part of that. I want to play. I want to be a gamer, you know? And by the grace of God, I escaped that. And I think, you know, it was just the fact that I went back to live with my mom, and I wasn't enticed by it. It was a fact of life. It was a survival tactic. And that, and again, it kind of goes back to another conversation we were having. I love these podcasts in that, you know, we talk about a lot of meaningful things. I hope it's not so disjointed that people get lost. But you and I, it sounds like we had similar experiences in growing up in less than desirable circumstances, where people are out, you know, you walk outside your door and everybody outside is looking for something. You know, they're looking for cash, or they're looking for to beat your ass, or they're looking to steal your bike, or they're looking to, you know, whatever it is. And that was my childhood from 9 to 13, which isn't a long time. It's 4 years, but it was pretty freaking formative, you
It's like when I met my wife,
know?
she was from some fucking cornfields, man. You know, and so the hood that I lived in wasn't awful, but I mean it's worse than anyway, she was so nice that I thought she was trying to trick me, literally. I'm just thinking, what is her angle? You know, like, what does she
What
want
do you
from me?
want exactly?
And so I thought she was trying to trick me. And we still talk about that. And I'm like, I just couldn't
Because
believe how nice you were. You know
no
what I
one
mean?
had been that nice to you before in that way, right? It was new. It was unfamiliar. What are you supposed to do? You don't recognize it. That's not your fault.
Like nowadays, she'll sit around and watch episodes of Little House on the Prairie. And I'm just like, you know what I mean?
The angles.
God, you know, God bless her, but who knows?
Those are actually, that's a good show.
It
That
is.
that's a
It
lot of
every
human.
episode has some kind of lesson.
It does. And it's based
And
on
Andy
reality.
Griffith, too. We
Yep.
talked about that last week, time.
Yep. Floyd the barber. Hey, Andy.
And
That's
I mean,
old TV shows.
we're both conservative, man. Like, if you go back to your roots, they had so many things right. It's like, I can't remember if I even told you, and I don't know if you listen to any of the old episodes, but I used to be a kickboxer. Have I told you that?
No.
Okay. And then,
Me write that down.
well, I was a kickboxer. I was a state champ kickboxer in high school.
No shit.
Yeah. And then when I joined the army, the recruiter told me, oh, he goes, man, for sure. He goes, you can just go right in and join the boxing team. No problem. And I'm like, all right. So I just signed up for the next thing out, which was the 10th Mountain Division. And then I go through basic training and all that, and I report to my platoon sergeant. And I said, yes, Sergeant, I'm supposed to try out for the boxing team. He goes, who told you that? I said, my recruiter. He goes, we
He
ain't got time for
laughs.
that shit up here, Private. And so,
The big green weenie
yeah.
screwed you right out of the gate.
No, I don't regret it, man. I had a great, I mean, the 10th Mountain Division was, I'm so proud of it, but I'm not,
It should be. So that was Colorado
after I
Springs.
got out, I went 4 years without kickboxing or doing karate or nothing like that. So I wound up boxing. I became a pro boxer at one point. I don't know if I ever told you that either, but yeah. And so that was just for extra money. It was just extra money, man. There were a couple times when I thought I was going to make it big, but it never happened. And for the listeners, that's why I always, even when I'm sober, I sound like I'm drunk because I've been getting punched in the head for 20 years. My dad used to call me Punchy. Yeah, but with that being said, talking about how we're conservative. So back when I was in high school, I started training. I had an uncle who was a pro boxer and he had a gym in town. I started training under him to get better with my hands. Well, there was a kickboxing match one night and I didn't have any corner man, so they came and helped me. And so the first thing they said, they didn't know nothing about kickboxing, right? And he goes, well, how many times you got to kick? And I'm like, eight times around. You got to kick eight times around in kickboxing, just so everybody knows that. At least back then. This was back in the 90s.
Yeah, now it's like 64 or
No, I don't know if they changed it, but so these guys were boxers, right? He goes, and he goes, just go out there and kick eight times at the beginning and don't kick anymore. Because it takes more energy.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was I'd been kickboxing for probably 2 or 3 years already, and that was the smartest thing anybody ever told me. Just because they were old school, they're like, what are you kicking for? That don't make no sense. You know what I mean? He goes, just go out there and kick eight times and get up. And I kicked the dude's ass, no problem. It's just people
Conserve your
get,
energy.
yeah, people get caught up in things and they just don't look back at basic things. You know what I mean? Like, it makes perfect sense if you think about it. It's like, how much energy does it take to throw a punch compared to a kick? And people just get caught up in it, like, oh, well, it's kickboxing. Well, yeah, but you ain't got to do that. You only got to kick eight times. So I went out there and kick eight times. It's just embracing the simplicity of life, man. You know what I mean? It's like people overcomplicate things, I think.
Ask Vasily Lomachenko.
I
That dude's an animal. Have you ever watched him?
mean, yeah, I've watched all of them. I'll sit around and watch YouTube after my wife
He's
goes to bed, and I watch all that shit, but
Lomachenko, at least in his day. I mean, it kind of became obvious to me that his secret weapon was a liver punch. He would just be going at it, and then all of a sudden, and then his opponent would just drop and be out. And
right.
it was a liver punch. But I mean, hey.
And that's the other thing. Trash talking. Back in the day, back in the old day, let's take an example. I'll give you one example. All these dances and shit, a first down dance in football. It's like a guy could be losing the game, gets a first down. He's down by three touchdowns, and he's over here dancing because he got a first down. Nobody used to do that shit. Brett Favre used to score a touchdown, and he would hand the ball to the referee and run back to the sideline. Bill Belichick. He wouldn't say shit to the media. I can remember an interview where this is why I love Belichick, man. And I hate to see that he's not doing great in North Carolina. But they said, "What do your fans ever see you at the grocery store and come up to you and ask you questions and blah blah blah?" He goes, he just tries to avoid questions, is basically. And he goes, "I haven't been to a grocery store in 2 years." Right? I
How the
mean,
hell do I know?
yeah. So, yeah, man, just don't say so much. Just shut the fuck up. I mean, that's the gist of it.
Ego is the anesthetic to stupidity,
Right.
right? It
Right.
is. Absolutely. You just nailed it. That's hilarious how we brought that back. Good
All
job. Good job.
right. That was a good episode, man. But
Yeah.
and I'm not gonna put it out tonight. I'll probably put it out tomorrow. But
Right on.
it's getting I gotta go eat and stuff. It was good catching up with you, man. I'm glad you got. Man, I'll bet you it's going to be great for you with that new job and
I'm
stuff.
gonna like it. I'm gonna like it.
Hell yeah.
Yep. Good
And
times.
hopefully we can get Dr. Martinez back on the show pretty soon.
Okay.
Julio.
Okay. I think I mentioned it to you. I have a friend, a Navy vet, who'd be interested in talking. Just, I
Right.
mean, we
Hey.
could.
See
He's
if he's
Gulf War.
available next Friday or
Okay.
all right.
Let me see. I find out my work schedule Tuesday, so I'll be able to tell you then what I can do. I think I'll be
Yeah.
doing closing, so 4 to 4 to 9,
Right, whatever.
which
We'll
might kill
figure it
Friday,
out,
but
man. We'll figure it out. Like I
yep.
said, I'll do it by myself if I have to. Then you people will have to endure that for 45 minutes to an hour.
Good times.
All right.
Right on.
Any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com. You can find us on Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram, YouTube, all that shit. Rumble. When I remember. So, All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening and like and subscribe and all that good stuff. Got anything else, Brian?
Nope. Good night.
All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.